Amen. Have a seat. Let's start out by, it's a visitation day, so can we offer welcome? If you are visiting Hope today, we hope that you will feel welcome here and that as you are discerning what your next step is going to be, that you'll consider joining the family that is Hope College. We hope that you will be part of our lives next year. I have an exciting guest I'd like to introduce, but first I want to let you know about something cool that's happening on our campus. Starting today and all of next week, we're doing something called Breaking Chains. It's a week of human trafficking awareness that we're going to be doing all together on campus. It's starting this morning here in chapel, and there's going to be a series of events that are happening. Tonight there's a film, there's a series of lectures that are happening, another film is happening, so I want to encourage all of you to check out maybe on No Hope or wherever you can get the information about what's happening each day of this next week so that you can be part of this important conversation about what we can do about this issue of human trafficking in our world. And not just in our world, but also in our local community, which is why I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Andy Soper, to you this morning. Andy helped to found an organization in West Michigan called the Manasseh Project. And the Manasseh Project is helping to do education about the issue of human trafficking, but it's also helping to do something about it. And that looks like advocating for a system that works better for those who have been trafficked, and it also looks like being there for people, for young women especially, who have been victims of trafficking, even in West Michigan, where we live. I'm really excited about the work that is happening and what Andy has to share with us this morning. He's gonna share what God has laid on his heart, but then he's also gonna stick around so that he can eat lunch with anybody here who would like to get to know him a little bit better and hear about his ministry and his call and what's happening here in West Michigan. If that sounds like a conversation that you would like to be a part of, you're invited. So what I'd love to have you do is just come over to Phelps and hang out in the Audi room with us. If you don't have a meal plan, then just tell them you're with Campus Ministries and we will get your lunch for you. So I'd love to invite you to do that right after chapel until 12:30 today. So if you've got class at 11 and you can come for that last little bit afterwards, come and hang out with me and Andy and have a nice lunch conversation. Would you guys welcome Andy Soper to chapel this morning?
So there are less blonde people here than I expected. Which, for you visiting, that's actually the new slogan of Hope, less blonde than you'd expect. It's true. It'll be on the website later, and I get a portion of the proceeds for that. I could tell you today about human trafficking, right? I could tell you about the young women that I work with. There are seven that currently live in the shelter that we opened 4 months ago. All of them are victims of systematic sexual assault for somebody else's profit. But I feel confident in saying that in this room, outside of perhaps pornography use, perhaps there's no one here who's ever bought someone for sex. But I'm also equally confident that there is no one in this room that does not own, take into their body, some sort of product that has connections to slavery across the world, whether it's chocolate, coffee, your cell phone, your clothing, fish, food that you eat. It's in everything. And there's a big part of me that says it's inevitable that I will partake in some sort of slave product during my day-to-day life. Inevitable. But that word inevitable is a term used by the empire to make us think that things aren't changeable. The empire, whether it's a company or a country, is interested in its own self-reproduction, right? Sustaining power and keeping it. So we start to view things as inevitable. Slavery's been around since the beginning of time, and it will continue to be around. Why? Because it's practical. Let me talk to you today about the practicality of injustice. When you think about the clothing that you wear, how hard would you have to work to find clothing that has zero connection, whether it's the way it's made or the source materials? When you think about proposing, men, to your future wives, How hard would it be for you to find gold and diamonds and jewels that aren't farmed in a violent way? What about chocolate? My wife has me eating this dark chocolate. I swear to you, it is like dirt. Look, I jiggle when I walk. I like me some chocolate, okay? To find chocolate that I can eat to satisfy that jonesing is difficult. Every major company, Hershey, Nestle, Mars, M&M's, run the gamut, have connections to slavery across the world, and it is profitable. Human trafficking is a $32 billion a year industry. B, that's Oprah money, right? Billions of dollars. And it is practical for you and I. We don't have to think about where our clothes are made. They're in our closet. None of us are affected by that sort of thing. We don't have to think about where the grapes are made. We don't have to think about who's picking blueberries for us. They're just at Meijer. So it's practical for us on a labor trafficking bent. On a sex trafficking bent, sex trafficking is fundamentally practical. To change exploitive practices and practices that objectify women, we would have to change nearly our entire culture. It seeped into absolutely everything. Our media, our advertising, the jokes that we laugh at. How many of us have said, "That's what she said," not making the connection that it's just demystifying sexuality and objectifying that woman, and it's a joke, it doesn't matter. It is impractical to pursue justice. And so I spend my days doing impractical things. Not yesterday I spent 2 hours trying to get my phone synced up with my computer. That's not what I'm talking about. 2 hours. It is impractical to have to question, where is my food coming from? It is impractical to have to sit with my children constantly if they're watching TV, which I would prefer would just be the Big Blue babysitter, but no, I have to sit there with them and talk them through times when they see women being used as anything but holy. Sitting with my son and talking through violence against women, and he's five, this notion that his job is not to harm but to protect is impractical because I'm tired at the end of the day. This happened to me because something fundamentally impractical happened to me 2 years ago. I'd been working in the social work field for about 8 years. I am not a social worker. I am fundamentally unempathetic. If one of you tripped and fell, I would say, suck it up, get up. I would ask how many of you identify with me and are unempathetic, but because you're unempathetic, you wouldn't even bother to raise your hand because you don't care about my... 2.5 years ago, after years of working with the most traumatized children in the state at Wedgwood Christian Services in locked residential, I had grown this huge callus between me and them. And one 13-year-old girl that ran away and was sexually exploited by a woman in our town to countless men destroyed my concept of practicality. And when I think about that moment of driving around at 2 a.m. looking for her on the street, not knowing what I would do if I found her, this concept came into my mind. See, I had already been accepted into my PhD program. I was gonna go be an anthropologist like Indiana Jones, only not the archaeological kind, the kind that sits behind a desk and asks questions. I'm not adventurous. All that to say. And that's where I was going. I didn't particularly, it's not that I didn't care about the kids I was working with, they just didn't connect with me. But the Lord did not let me look away from this one girl. And I started to think about where else that had happened. And I reflected on the story of my favorite murderer in Scripture, Moses. Moses was a shepherd, and I imagine that's hard work, but you get to be alone, so it's cool, right? It's just you and the sheep. And he's walking, trying desperately to be practical. And he notices off his path that this tree is on fire, this bush is on fire, and it won't consume. Now, Shrubbery on Fire, Bring Us a Shrubbery just popped into my head from Monty Python. I apologize. Shrubbery on Fire in the Wilderness is not that strange, right? It's hot, it's arid, there might be fires. But this one didn't consume, and he left the path that he was on. He stopped being a shepherd for a minute and went away over to that burning tree, this tree that wouldn't consume, and there he met an impractical God. And it changed everything. Every argument he made went away. He had to go be a leader for 2 million people, 2 to 4 million people. I'm not trying to be that. I'm not comparing myself to Moses. I'm just explaining the situation. I was on a path. I was going to be a doctor, right? With the tassel. I was so excited for that. And the Lord said, no, no, no. This is where I want you to go. My wife had been there for years before me. She's waiting for me to come around. She used to work with orphans in Romania and was waiting for me to notice this tree that wouldn't burn up, that was human trafficking. You're in the same situation. You are trying desperately to be practical, as we all do. But the factors that drive human trafficking, poverty, previous sexual abuse, substance abuse, war, being a refugee, cultural acceptance of the practice, they are rampant and they are everywhere. And human trafficking, slavery, is just a byproduct of all these factors coming together. So as you're walking through your day looking to be practical, this is what I want you to remember, that every tree is burning and won't consume. You have to have eyes to see and ears to hear, but everything is a call because the kingdom continues to advance. God gave his name to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them that. That can also be translated, I will be who I will be, or I am becoming who I am becoming. See, the kingdom is a movement, and it shows up where it shouldn't. It showed up at a woman who'd been prostituted washing Jesus' feet. It shows up with a slave nation. It shows up with a murderer. It shows up with adulterers all through Scripture. You have to open your eyes. I once prayed the prayer, God, surprise me. No joke. Those are my words because I'm a poet. God, surprise me. Because nothing seemed to. 6 months later, I'm driving around on the streets of Grand Rapids looking for a 13-year-old girl with a broken heart and absolutely no solution to the problem. There are solutions to the problem. It is not in kicking down doors. It is not in writing checks to ease your conscience. It is in getting active in your community, finding the bush that is on fire and will not consume in your life and saying, I will respond to that because that is becoming and I want to be part of that kingdom movement. Now, I'll be around here. You guys are done in like 20 seconds. I'll be around here till 12:30. And if you are like me, you will not turn down a free lunch. I'm happy to talk with you about human trafficking, but I'm more interested in what your passion is. Those of you who are accountants, how are you going to be an accountant that moves the kingdom forward? Educators and doctors and all these different ways that you can be employed. How are you going to move the kingdom forward in your own way? I appreciate your time, and I appreciate even more your prayers for the women who work in the home with these young women and for the young women who daily battle the reality that they are nothing more than a product. It is 100% preventable if you can recognize the bush that is on fire and will not consume. Thank you.